Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
Still. Yo. If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the hammerlanelegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line, because we've got one and nobody's using it. I think we actually got
it. Did you actually check it?
Well, I actually got...
Thank you. You didn't. Quiet.
Yeah, I know, but hold quiet. On. I actually got a message that we got a message.
Okay.
So anyway, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line, short story. If you've seen anything crazy, wild, wacky, insane on the road, or you participated in, or you were the cause of, leave us a short story. 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes at the most. Anything longer than that, you have the gift of gab, get a hold of Brian, and we'll schedule you to be on the show.
You got that right. We'd love to hear from you, so get a hold of us. I want to see those emails stacking up.
Yeah, and there's a shout out to Greg Zilli's nephew there, the guy that, the cat guy.
Yeah. The cat guy.
He said he likes my attitude, and you're not supposed to.
And you don't even remember what his name is, do you?
Yeah, I got to text him. Anyway, hidey-ho.
Whoever you are.
Right. Watch. All right, I'll get this taken care of right away.
Yeah,
I'll make a correction at the end of the show. But
if you want to keep this show fueled,
who's back here?
Hold on a second, dude. We didn't even do Buy Me a Coffee yet.
Oh.
That's what I said. If you want to keep the show fueled, go ahead and check out Buy Me a Coffee, and you can support the show, keep us caffeinated, get Shipper a Coke or a Mountain Dew, and I'm still just a coffee guy.
Boy, you suck doing this.
Yeah, I know. It's because it's your job to do it, but I'm filling in for you. This is what happens when I got to fill in for somebody else, and I did my part. I did it right.
Yeah, you showed up.
I did.
You came home.
I turned everything on. Anyway, Buy Me a Coffee. So it's buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane Legends or Hammer Lane. Is it just, hey, Shipper.
What?
Is it just Hammer Lane or Hammer Lane Legends?
BuyMeACoffee.com.
BuyMeACoffee.com/Hammer Lane. /.
The slash leans to the right. If you're looking at it. That's all I can tell you.
Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Right. Thanks for listening.
Anyway, who are we talking to again today, Shipper? Somebody new on the show.
What's his name?
It's a returning guest.
Yeah, what's his name?
His name is Kyle.
Kyle. It's Kyle. It's Kyle from Canada.
What's his name? I don't even know.
Yeah, screw you guys. I'm going home.
I don't even know what to say to that one, Shipper. What's his name?
I'm typing it. Hey, what's your nephew's name? And you're asking me? I got stuff going on here. You know?
What's his name?
You know, I was looking at that one thing. You know. Anyway, Kyle, hold on. Anyway. I was looking at the CDL life where that straight truck driver is getting charged for going on the parkway and hitting every sign. He's getting charged for every sign that he hit.
I saw that.
Which is crazy.
And you also showed me the story about FedEx.
UPS. UPS, the brown guys.
That's
come
all
on.
The same. FedEx, no, UPS. Ain't. They're all fed up. That's what it is.
Well, no, that's if they merge. Yeah, they're not merged yet. So they're just fed up. I mean, FedEx.
And UPS. they're just F upped.
Yeah. True that. True that.
So what was the UPS story while we're sitting here chit-chatting before we bring Kyle on officially?
Say, 200 terminals are shutting down?
Yeah. 200 processing places.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? It took between now and what, 2028 or something like that? Or 2026? Mm-hmm. You don't even remember, do you? You're not even going to talk. Kyle, how are you doing?
No, but hey, thank God Biden's at the helm here.
Of course, you know. It's wonderful.
You know, and I said helm, and I didn't even realize I said it, but I would, yes. I will say, can you see? That's all I can say. No.
We're going to try this for a third time. Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's fantastic to talk to you.
He might not be able to follow it all. Wow. It's fast moving here. I'm not even sure what I'm spitting out.
Holy crap.
But did you catch that? Biden is at the helm?
I caught it. that's Shipper's way of how to influence people.
Yeah.
Make friends and influence people by Brian Shipper.
At least somebody will talk about it.
Yeah, well, they'll talk about it. Not us, but they'll talk about what you said. Anyway, Kyle.
Out of context.
Yeah, exactly. Totally out of context, because that's usually how it goes.
Well, it's the way I talk, so that way they can't really nail me down for one specific thing. It'll be a plethora.
I think you caused the accident down there in Baltimore. I think you were at the helm. That's
not me,
man. That's what I really think you were hiding out.
All they would have had to say was coming about, and everybody would have got out of the way.
It's coming about. We're talking to a Canadian. He's coming about.
Coming about.
There you go. Oh man, Kyle, it's really good to talk to you again. Thank you so much for coming back on the show and having a little bit more of a conversation with us. We have enjoyed this the first two times, and this is a blast, and we're just enjoying ourselves. We are just having a good time, so thank you so much for coming back on.
Yeah. He's got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I know, right? He's in Canada, right, Shipper? Yeah. He's Canadian. Yeah. He's got nothing else to do.
He's over there in the West Coast.
I'm waiting for it to come out yet.
He's still frying up the back bacon yet. Come on.
Oh, my word. He's making Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
We call it ham.
No, it's back bacon.
Anyway.
So we call it ham, too.
There you go. Why do we call it Canadian bacon down here, then? Did they actually call it that?
Because it came out of Canada. You know, if it came out of Mexico, we call it Olé. I don't know.
Side story. I remember we were taking a load to Pagosa Springs.
Oh, downtown and, Pagosa Springs.
Over Wolf Creek Pass, stuff.
Yeah.
One of those log homes from Timber Kings. We used to haul the homes for them.
Oh, okay.
And
you had your knee highs and onion soup mix.
What was that?
Just keep going, Kyle. Don't encourage him anymore.
Well, I thought maybe it was him and Earl, and they had a screw to gear shifter knob back on and everything.
Yeah.
We're going through the whole song. Holy chickens or logs?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Started it, not me.
The house, they bought us lunch
one
day. It was pizza, and they were all excited that they got Canadian bacon pizza for the Canadians. And we all kind of just looked at him and said, we just call it ham. Oh.
Does it make you wonder where that ever came from? Canadian? Why did they call it Canadian bacon?
I
think
have
it was
no idea.
I think you want to know where I first heard it.
Where? Here in America,
McDonald's. When they were when they were boasting about their egg McMuffin,
with Canadian bacon, and cheese, and a muffin.
Mm-hmm.
On a muffin.
Not an English muffin.
There's a movie, too, with John Candy called that. Canadian
yes,
bacon.
There is.
Wasn't there?
Yes, there
was
is.
It? Yeah.
I love John Candy. He's one of my favorite actors. Too bad he's dead.
Him and Chris Farley.
Holy crap.
Two favorite actors.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Oh, I'm with you there, dude. I am with you there. That's like a walk down memory lane, man. I love John Candy.
Yeah.
John Candy and the Great Outdoors. Greatest movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
That's my. Yes. That is where I'm at. That's my.
Chris Farley was
a lot shorter.
Was that one? what was that movie, Chris Farley, where they're trekking across the stage trying to beat Lewis and Clark?
Is that Wagons?
Almost Heroes or Almost Famous? Almost Famous.
Almost Famous.
That's what it was.
No, there was another one named Almost Famous, but that was with Kate Hudson.
She doesn't look anything.
Maybe it's Almost Heroes then.
She doesn't look anything like
that's
Farley.
What I'm saying. Yeah. You know, she was playing the rock and roll groupie thingy.
That's the Doors.
No. No, forget it. All right, we're done with this.
That's hilarious.
We're so far off the rails. GPS doesn't even recognize it.
GPS is going recalculating. No,
it's a throw it away, get another one.
Oh man, the Doors was with Meg Ryan and Val Kilmer. Just so you know.
I'm not worried about the Doors, but
I don't really
on the Google machine and Google.
We're having a conversation with
Kyle.
Get
on the Google machine. He'll wait. Get on the Google machine and tech and do Almost Famous. Right, Kate Hudson starred in it.
I think he's right about that.
See that? 800 miles away, and he knows I'm right. I like this guy. I'm glad you brought him back.
Yes. It does have her in it. You're correct. It has got.
And okay. Now Google the John Candy movie. Watch.
For the love of Pete, we're
going to go opposite directions here because it's nowhere even close.
You know, we're literally doing a podcast.
The only thing going to be possibly is the first word, almost. But he's going to go with. We'll wait. So anyway,
Almost Heroes.
Almost Heroes. Okay.
Yes. Almost Heroes. That's what Kyle was
correct.
See that? We were right. You were wrong. Shut up. Anyway.
So Kyle, it's nice to talk to you again.
Right.
I have to sit across from this young fellow every Saturday, listen to his bull. But it's nice to talk to you, Kyle. So okay. Where are we starting at?
Hold on. Stop. Here. Side note. The answer to the question was with Greg's nephew or whatever. Vishal. That's his name.
Vishal.
He's the guy that got trained out there for the work on the cat engines for the compressors and all that. So, hey, hidey-ho, neighbor. Okay, we're good.
Now we're back. We're okay.
We're back. We're live.
We're done with the movie trivia. Yes. We're done with
we're done with Trivial Pursuit for today.
Oh, well, that was a blast.
Yes, driving across Canada. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we're going to pick up where you left off. Driving across Canada. And what did you say? 2.15 days.
Those are tired eyes, dude. That's tired eyes. Yeah, they're watching you.
No song about that. Just lying eyes.
Or private eyes.
Oh, shut up. Don't even start. Anyway.
Go for it, Kyle.
Anyway. What was it? I had to take a transformer out to Lab City in Newfoundland. And it was a rush job, like a hot load, had to get there. And I was already in a tri-drive. So we put it on an RGN trailer to keep the height down. And I was going to truck it across myself. And they said, well, when can you get there? So I gave them the day. I think I loaded on a Tuesday. I said, okay, I'll be there. I think it was Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I'll hammer on it, get across Canada, get up the Manic Fives, and get into Lab City. And they were trying to get me permits because technically I was oversized. I was a little wide and a little high. And the province of Quebec wouldn't let me enter their province with a tri-drive unless I was considered a superload, which I wasn't. I just had a normal 48-foot RGN. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop. Actually, it was in Regina again, the town that rhymes with fun.
Yeah.
I had to stop there. My buddy, who's actually out on the drilling rigs now, he showed up with his truck. We swapped trailers. I hopped in with him, and we teamed out to Newfoundland. And for people that don't know, which I'm sure they will, but Canada's a really big freaking country, right? It's like driving in Texas. You drive 5 hours, you're still in Houston, right? Mm-hmm. So... it takes 2 days to get across the province of Ontario. That's how big it is. So we decided to team it out there sooner, and we left, I think it was Wednesday morning, at about 3 a.m. we left, and we would switch, I think it was every 10 hours we would do the switch to keep going. And we made it there Friday afternoon, and then we offloaded, we had to take 24 off because it was during COVID and they're all worried about the straps containing COVID. So we weren't even allowed on the strap. We just dropped the trailer and got off the mine site. The next day we went back. They had all the straps rolled up, everything nice and neat on the trailer. We hooked on the trailer and got off. And we got back to Regina, I think Sunday night or Monday morning.
Okay, can I stop you for a second?
Go ahead.
What was the deal with the straps?
COVID.
Well, it was during the height of COVID, remember? When everybody was all freaked out about things that people touched.
Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I'm dead serious.
The straps.
Further east you go in Canada, the worse it gets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because anyway, you lost me right there. I'm like, what's wrong with the straps?
Back to Regina.
Sorry.
Yeah. So back to Regina. Anyway.
You just like saying that.
So we finish it. Everybody's like happy.
You know, hold on a second. This just popped into my head. It's like the Regina monologues.
Yeah.
I'm terrible, dude. So,
go ahead. I'm trying to worry about. I'm trying to figure out the straps. And you're still stuck on that. Anywho,
so me and my buddy, we get back to our yard in Calgary, and we're chatting with the office, the people in the office. That we come to find out that people were taking bets on how far we would make it each day. Every time they would come into the office, they'll check on the GPS and see where we were. And apparently, and not trying to brag or anything, but we were the fastest team group they had. Normally, they said when people team across Canada from where we were to Newfoundland, it takes them about 4 days, and we pretty much cut that in half. And I think the dispatcher won like $200 on that bet.
Wow.
He said he came in the very next morning to see where we were, and we were already in Ontario. And that's when they started taking bets. And he said, I bet you they'll be there Friday. Oh, there's no way they'll make it there by Friday. And he said, yeah, we checked Friday morning and you were already in Newfoundland.
They were going through Regina like pros.
Yeah.
It writes itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it does.
I can go so far. I'm just going to be the better man and walk away. Okay. Because there's so much bouncing around up here right now. Give him something else to talk about.
So what is Scott? Why is Scott struggling for his first time in Canada?
Michael Scott?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Or his brother. That's an inside joke.
Nuts.
You will understand
Scott
it
from
if
Super Tank Chronicles.
Yeah. Oh my word. What was that?
Oh, never mind. My brain went to a different place.
Oh,
that yeah. We're not going to go to.
That means you've been talking to us way too long.
Yeah, I think so.
It's starting to show.
We apologize for any, physical injury that this is going to stay with you and, your future psychologist, psychiatrist, and
please apologize to your wife for us, please. Oh, holy cow. So anyway, Scott struggled for his first time in Canada. Was that
the Charlie Street one?
No, Scott struggled.
It just says Scott. It's underneath.
It's underneath the Charlie Street Vancouver confirming. So it's the one right below
that. The whole Charlie Street. Yeah, that was from the last episode there. I was just confirming that.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yep, we hit that one.
Never mind.
All right. That page is
You've
done.
You've been doing it too long.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
We have been
he
doing
just
it too
has to
long.
Roll up one page.
I gotta roll the roller. Here we go.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Are we going back to Regina?
No. We're going to his grandfather built the Alcan Highway.
That's right. So everybody knows the Alcan Highway was built by U.S. Army Engineer Corps?
Yep, Corps of Engineers.
Corps of Engineers.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. So when they came up, the whole reason, I think it was Eisenhower, I think. Was it Eisenhower? I can't remember who was president.
I believe it was in the 50s.
Yeah, he wanted highways everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, he wanted highways everywhere. And he wanted a highway up to Alaska for the sole reason in case Russia decided to invade. Well, USSR back then decided to invade through Alaska. They had no way to get military equipment up there.
Right.
So him and I think it was, I can't remember who the prime minister was. It wasn't McDonald. Anyway, they were trying to make a deal saying, you know, we'll pay for half, you pay for half. Mm-hmm. We'll create all these jobs. And it took, I think, 3 or 4 years for them to finally say, screw it, we're building this highway. So it was in the early 40s. They said, yeah, it's a go. Let's start going. And they were looking for operators and truck drivers and everything to help build this road. And my grandfather was actually a cat skinner back then. Mm-hmm. And they hired him, three of his brothers, and I can't remember who else from my family there, but they helped with the Marine Corps of Engineers or Army Corps of Engineers build the highway up to Alaska. And I think he said it only took him like 10 months to freaking push the initial road in.
Wow.
And then he said they actually at Soldier Summit, which is where they kind of met, because mm-hmm. they started at Delta Junction, headed south, and then Dawson Creek and headed north. And Soldier Summit, Yukon is where they met. And he was saying, he told us that when they met, the only reason they realized they were meeting is one of the dozer operators stopped, shut his dozer off to have a cigarette, and he heard the other dozer going the other way. And they missed each other, I think, by about 100 feet. And he said that's the only reason they were able to freaking meet each other, because he stopped and he heard the other dozer. He said if he didn't stop for that cigarette, they would have just kept on going.
But can I ask you a question? You know, we've had people start on one end of something and start on the opposite end and try to meet in the middle. You know, kind of like Pennsylvania, where the bridges don't meet the roads. Did the two roads actually meet, or was there like a dog leg off the road to meet the other side? Did it actually meet?
It did. Once they figured out they were 100 feet from each other, they're like, okay, we'll readjust and make them meet.
But hey, that ain't bad, because they didn't have GPS.
We call it a correction line.
Right. Here's the East Rail going west, and well, it stops right there because the west one's a mile south of us.
Yeah. We're going to readjust.
Yes.
Recalculating.
We have to put a switch track in here.
Oh, my word.
Gotta love
it. So your grandfather worked on that. That's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah. He did that. He was one of those guys that just followed the work. Whatever job he could get, he did it.
Wow.
So that's how he drove truck. He ran equipment. He farmed. He, whatever he could to support his family, he just did it. Right. So yeah, he built the Alcan. He built Kicking Horse Pass out by Golden, BC. My dad built the road to Tumbler Ridge. I built the ring road around the city of Edmonton. Trying to think what else he did. Oh, he was a soldier at the internment camps during World War II.
Wow.
Which he wasn't too proud of, but yeah. Hmm. Like I said, just whatever he could to put food on the table, he did.
Yeah, you know, that was that generation, man.
Thanks for the service.
How about it? Yep. Whatever they needed to do, they did.
Yeah.
You know, they're not called the greatest generation for nothing.
That's not like nowadays down here.
No.
Yeah.
We've got people
here.
Yeah, we've got people whining on TikTok about time blindness and all kinds of other goofy stuff. Yeah. So.
Or they say, how can somebody work 40 hours 40 a week? Hours. And I just laugh. What do you do after Tuesday?
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, want to cut the work week down to 32? What do I got to do? Just work 2 days and I'm done.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's great.
I'm done. I can go home.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It is. It's crazy. What are you going to do? So, how often do you take your wife to the Oregon coast?
Oh, so That was the
every time he sees Die Hard, he goes out to the coast.
Yeah, yeah, have a few laughs. Have a good time.
Yeah, have a few laughs. It'll be fun. Yes. That's a Christmas movie, by the way.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I knew I liked this guy. Ranks right up there with Ralphie. You shoot his eye out.
Yes, it does.
So we were hauling the windmills off the ports there in Washington. Uh-huh. And I would take my wife with me every once in a while. Whenever she could get time off work, she would hop in the truck and we'd go wherever, right? Whatever load I had, she'd come with me. And this time it just happened to be we were doing the windmills off the coast. So we get down there and we had a layover, I think for a day, 2 days. So instead of staying in the truck stop there at Jubitz, we're like, oh, we'll just rent a car. We're 90 miles from the coast. We'll just drive out to the coast. So we rented a car, a Mustang, because I'm like, well, if we're going to go to the coast, we're going to go in style.
Hey, man, there you go, brother.
So we rented a convertible Mustang, drove out to the coast, and we're going up and down. I think it's a 101. I think that's what it is, the Oregon Coast Road. And there was this big freaking outcropping of rock she really wanted to see. She saw pictures of it, and she really wanted to see it. So we're bombing down the coast. We see it in the distance, and we're trying to find a parking spot to go in and walk onto the beach and go see this rock. And the only place I could find parking was about 3 miles down the beach. So we get to the parking lot, we hop out, and we're trekking back up the beach to go see this stupid rock that you really wanted to see. We walk, I think it was a mile and a half, and I'm gassed. And I said, there's the rock. Take your pictures. We're going back. But no, I want to get closer. I want to get closer. I said, you can get closer. I'm staying right here. I am done. So she gets mad and, all right, fine. She takes her pictures, and then we trek a mile and a half back down the beach to the car.
You know how to have a good time, dude.
It's called get a camera with a zoom lens.
A really good zoom lens. Yeah. So what was the rock? I mean, like, what was it?
It was just a big outcropping that came up out of the ocean. Oh, okay. I don't know, maybe a half mile off the beach.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember rock, what it was called. All. Yeah, exactly. Great.
Couple seals laying on it, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds, but you know what? It was nice that you took your wife along and you did that. Those are important things. Those are good moments, man. Those are good moments.
Sure, well, it is.
That's it. And like the company I'm with now, they allow to bring kids with you too, right? So I get to bring my kids with me. And like I said, and with previous episodes there where I'm a third generation driver, I'm really working hard on getting that fourth generation going, right?
I hear that.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to deliver your medical needs.
Right.
Exactly. Well, like I always say, you know, everybody says they're a third generation driver, but nobody says they're a fourth generation yet.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yes, sir.
Because you figure out the third time, nope, nobody wants any interest.
They're all like, no, we know there's no life with that job. Right.
Have you seen my father? No, either have I. No, I'm not going there. Yeah. He was a truck driver, never home.
Well, you know what, Kyle? You can pick the next story. Wherever you want to go.
I can pick the next story, eh? Let's do the threaten to drop the grader at the border.
Okay.
That's a funny one. So I'm trying to remember what year it was. Canadian border guards were threatening to go on strike for whatever reason. I don't know. They had a fart stuck crossways or something and they were mad. So they were threatening to go on strike. And I had to go down to Illinois to grab a 24M grader, which is the biggest grader Caterpillar makes.
Okay.
So I pick it up and our customs agent with the company I was with is telling us, saying, you know, you might not be able to cross, da-da-da-da-da, and okay, whatever, no big deal. So I get to the border, and they're going to refuse me from crossing because of the strike. And I was already gone for, I think, 3 weeks, and I just wanted to get home. And I remember telling them, saying, well, you can refuse the load from crossing, but you can't stop me from crossing. And they kind of looked at me weird. And I said, I'm a Canadian citizen. You can't stop me from crossing back into my country. So I said, this is what's going to happen. Either you're going to let me get across to keep going. I said, or I'm just going to drop this thing right here on the road and I'm going home. And then you can deal with this 160-foot long trailer sitting here for 3 days till somebody decides that, oh, we need it across. They kind of hemmed and hawed, huffed and puffed. And then they finally said, okay, here's your stamp. You're good to go.
Yeah, you can tell this story is an old story.
Why? They stamp?
Yeah.
All you got to do is look at anybody from Mexico. They can get you across any border.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You know, sometimes.
It's like the thing circling around on the internet. You know, Costco's going to enforce membership ID. Well, maybe you put them down the border.
There you go.
Yeah.
What the hell? You can't get your $1.50 hot dog if you're not a member.
You can't get into Costco without an ID, but yeah. You're allowed to run across the border with nothing.
Yes, right. Sir.
And you can vote, you know, so there's that.
Yeah.
Here's my little rant.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys have voter ID? Like, I'm not trying to get political, but
no,
it's just
okay.
No, weird to me.
We've been wondering that too.
Stop. Sit down. Shut up. Strap in. Okay. Wow. I had the effort made. I had all the paperwork. I have the real ID for the state of Pennsylvania. Okay. We jumped through 900 friggin' hoops. I have the TWIC card. I had to jump through those hoops. And there's not a one person ask me for an ID when I go to vote. Oh, we don't need your ID. Well, bullshit. Yeah, You're getting my ID because it's a real ID from the state of Pennsylvania.
It's not fake. It's real.
I had to pay extra for this.
Wow. You sense a little bit of tension there. Do you think it touched a nerve, Kyle?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I got to go for my my concealed carry permit. Yeah.
Good luck.
And well, no, it's not a luck issue. I got a real ID. What else do I need? You've already approved me last year. The pictures are the same. They haven't changed.
I don't know.
Here's a TWIC card. I can take hazardous materials. I can walk into an oil refinery. Shut up.
Just.
Yeah. Well, like my TWIC card. And I can walk court in the U.S., but oh, no, I can't do this because I don't have the proper certificate.
Yeah, it's insane.
It is.
But
it is crazy.
They're coming over by the thousands. They're coming over as we're speaking.
Hey, yeah. There's one group of people to thank for
and
that.
And I just wish Abby would send them right straight up into Canada.
No, please don't. We have enough problems up here.
No, they don't like the cold weather. They only migrate so far north. That's it. Wow. I'm done.
Well, that took a wild turn.
I know, right? I'm scared now. Anybody want to hear a Regina joke?
Yeah. Where are you going to take that Regina? I'm sorry. He got me wild. As soon as he started identification, that was it. The rail. It went off the rail.
Do you guys have to show a voter ID up there in Canada? Kyle?
Yeah, we do. We just show our driver's license.
Yeah.
Or a passport or whatever. A government issued identification.
Yeah.
We show it to them. Because they will not let us vote unless we show them IDs proving we are who we say we are.
You guys are just trying to block the vote.
We don't even have like the automatic voter things like what you guys have.
We call that down here ballot harvesting. The automatic voting.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, stop.
Oh, did here
you
we
hear?
Go.
Did you hear? I heard this on, Kyle, on the news.
All the points today, yes, dude.
I heard this on the news. The Democratic Party is going to open a Democratic office.
Where?
Are you strapped in?
Uh-huh. Mexico? Uh-uh.
Lancaster, PA.
They don't have one?
Apparently not. But.
Oh, there's a big
where cut. Did the trailer that had all those ballots? It was last seen in Harrisburg, and it was on its way to?
Lancaster.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a coinky day.
How about it? So how about we get back to the list?
I'm done. Yes. Do what you got to do. Yeah. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet and suck down my Coca-Cola.
Somehow I doubt that.
I just don't push my buttons. Careful. Walk carefully. Tread lightly.
Blowing a tire 10 miles from Canada, U.S. border.
Oh, yes. So that was D11 again. And we're coming down Highway 6 in Canada into Raymond, Montana.
Uh-huh.
And we are about 10 miles from the border. And my rear pilot gets on the radio and says, you just blew a tire on your trailer. And I said, well, which one? He tells me. I said, okay, well, we're 10 miles from the border. The shoulders are 3 inches wide. And we're hauling a D11. I can't stop. Like, there's nowhere I can stop.
Right.
I said, but I know just south of the border, there's an old way station that we can park at. So we get to the border and we are so big, we couldn't go through the normal booth. So we always phone ahead and tell them we have to go the wrong way underneath the canopy. And so we can get into the States and then go wrong way. They move their cones. They come out, they do all their, you know, little Geiger counter thing around the trailer and the truck.
Right.
Make sure I'm not carrying a nuclear explosive
or
something.
Exactly. Yep.
And, so he's going down the one side, comes back around, comes up the other side, goes around the truck, and I open the door to give him my passport. And he goes, I need to show you something. And I said, you saw the tire, didn't you? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, we blew it about 10 miles ago. Said, I'm only going to that scale right there, and I'm going to go to town tomorrow morning, get somebody to come out and fix it. Oh, okay. So I go into the building, do all the stuff, right, just so I can cross into the States.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, yeah, you're good to go. And he goes to hand me my passport and paperwork. And I reach for it and he pulls it back. And he goes, you're only going as far as the scale, right? And I said, yeah, that's my plan. He goes, good, because I live in the next town. And if you're not there when I go to leave tonight, then I'm coming for you.
And I bet
no problem,
would.
Sir. Yeah.
Wow. Boy, he was really making sure you were going no further. That's it.
You know,
yeah.
In his defense,
the tire shop...
You know, his defense.
Sorry, little side story on that.
Yeah.
The tire shop I went to get the tire replaced, they didn't have the proper size tire that we had on the trailer. He had one that was a little smaller.
Uh-huh.
And we put it on as a temporary measure, and it stayed on that trailer, I think, for 6 months. And I just called it the little tire that could, because it never did anything wrong.
Well, once you got enough weight on it, they all touch.
Yeah, exactly.
Put a little air out of the outside tire, you're good.
You know, like Tom Brady likes his balls a little deflated. You know, you like your tires a little soft.
Deflate gate.
Oh, my word.
Likes his ball good. Soft from ball sack. You know?
Yeah.
Just saying.
My word, that's funny.
So
where are we going now, Kyle?
Let's see here. How about the high-speed pursuit in Austin, Texas?
That sounds awesome.
That's a good one. Yeah. So, 26-watt lockbox again. As you may have realized, I hauled those a lot.
Yeah.
And we were, usually we'll come up from McAllen, and we'll come up into Austin. We'll go around the south side going west on, like, the ring roads and stuff, and then we'll bugger off west, towards the High Plains of Texas from Austin. For whatever reason, this time they wanted us to go around the east side and take a bunch of service roads and stuff all the way to the north side, hit the I-35 and exit the city that way. So me and the pilots, we're struggling through the city traffic, making sure we're en route, and we're all like white knuckling it in and out of traffic and stuff. And we finally get to the I-35. And we all take like a breath of relief. Okay, we're on this for like 15 miles before our next turn. Let's just relax, calm down, da-da-da-da-da. So we're bombing down the I-60 or the I-35. And then I just start to realize that the bridges are just getting lower and lower and lower as we're going, right? So I remember getting on the radio and saying, you know, something's not right here, because usually Texas will keep us away from these low bridges.
Right.
And then the front pilot says, well, you're not going to fit underneath this one. And I said, well, how high is it? And he said, 15.2, and we're 15.8. So I was like, okay, well, is there a way we can get off onto a service road and bypass it? And the rear pilot says, no. So we kind of pile on the brakes. We pull off the road as far as we can. trying to figure out what to do. And as we're pulled off on the road, we're so wide, we're still taking up two lanes of traffic. So traffic's starting to pile up on the I-35. And we made a game plan that we were going to shut down traffic on the on-ramp from the service road onto the I-35. I was going to back up it to get on the service road and then get going. So we're doing that. And hold on a second. Oh, yeah. And in that time we were sitting there trying to figure it out, we realized we missed our exit. We were only supposed to be on the I-35 for like 3 miles, then get off on the service road. Uh-huh. And we were 10 miles past it, right? So that's why, that's where we screwed up. So anyway, so we're getting ready to back up this off-ramp so we can get back on route. And my rear pilot says, oh, here comes the cops. I was like, oh, yeah, all right, here we go. This is going to be a big talking to, possibly a ticket, because technically we're off route now. Anyway, so I stop, and this little black pickup shoots around me, and the cop right on his tail. And I was like, oh, okay, he must be trying to pull that guy over. No big deal. So we keep backing up, and then about six other cops come flying around me, and they shut the I-35 down, and my front pilot's past the bridge on the other side. He gets on the radio and says, I'm getting out of here because the cops are coming out with shotguns.
Wow.
So he buggers off. he buggers off. We get back on route, and now traffic's all gnarled up because of me, and C, they shut down the interstate to take this guy down, right? Get on route, get going. We get past that point, and then there's a cop waiting for us on the other side of this overpass. Uh-huh. Stops us, and he comes talking to us. What happened? So I told him and said, well, we missed our route or missed our exit, so we're just trying to get back on route. And he goes, the only reason you're not getting in trouble right now is because we were chasing that guy for 35 miles. And the only reason we were able to catch him is because you snarled up traffic so bad he had nowhere to go.
So that's his way of saying thank you, sir.
I was going to say, you're welcome, officer.
Just trying to do my civic duty. Oh, that's freaking fantastic, dude. Nothing like being in the way on purpose without being on the way on purpose at a good time. You know? That's fantastic.
Right, just think, you know, McAllen, Texas, he basically traveled from border to border. You know, north to south.
We loaded, trying to think, it's 3 miles north of the border is where we loaded. The guys would bring them up from Mexico, from the Caterpillar plant down there, bring them up across the border, drop it off at this yard, and we would pick them up from the yard and go north.
Wow. That's the way to do it, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome. How much is something like, this is going to segue right into the next, topic. How much does one of those things weigh?
Fully dressed rock box is about 75,000-80,000 pounds.
Wow. Wow. The only reason I asked that is you have one here that says, talking my way out of an overweight ticket. How do you get an overweight ticket with an oversized load when you're a heavy hauler?
So, So that was actually another D11. It was in Broadus, Montana.
There was a lot lizard that stayed on the trailer. So get overweight.
So even if you're oversized.
Was she a large car?
Obviously, you're over your 80,000 pounds. GVW,
right.
You still have to get a permit, obviously, for being overweight, and you still have to stay within the weights that you're permitted for, right?
Okay.
So normally you'll load, you can either read off your suspension gauges or you go and scale somewhere, get your axle weights, then you put in for your permits. So did all that. I scaled, put in for my Montana permits. Yeah, everything's kosher. We get down to Glendive, Montana, park for the night, get up in the morning, bugger off. And we come across Highway 59 to get into Gillette, and there's a scale there that brought us, and they're notorious for pulling people in, making sure everything's kosher. Like a lot of drivers that run that route, they'll know Broadus, Montana. And if you're oversized and you go across that plate, even if you're legal, beagle, everything's kosher, you're still getting the park bring papers like, because they want to make sure you're legal. So we pull in, and we have to lift the trailer up. so we can get over the hump to get onto the plate, or we're scraping the ground, tearing up the asphalt. So we lift the trailer up, we go, we scale, we go park, we bring them the paperwork, and the scale master, Tammy, her name was, is, I've seen her so many times, we knew each other by name. She says, we have an issue. I said, well, what's the issue? Well, you're 3,000 pounds overweight on your Jeep. I was like, well, how the heck am I 3,000 pounds overweight? I scaled in Regina. Right? We're good. Here's the ticket. And she goes, no, you're 3,000 pounds overweight. And she was going to give us a ticket for being overweight. So I'm kind of hemming and hawing. And I finally told her, I said, I think I know what the problem is. She said, what's that? I said, well, when I lifted the trailer, I bet you it transferred a bunch of weight onto my Jeep. And she said, wow, are you running down the highway like that? And I said, well, obviously not. So legally, I'm good to go. And she kind of gave me a look and she said, well, since the last bridge in the state of Montana you crossed was that one back there, so I'll let you go. And then she put her finger up and started wagging it and said, don't do it again. Okay, no problem. Hop out. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm overweight, like, because usually that's not how it works. So we get into Gillette, park for the night so we can deliver the next morning. I'm doing my post trip. I realize what it was is I dumped the air in the Jeep on the suspension bag so I could go grab some fuel, and I forgot to air them back up. So it was all the weight was sitting on the frame of the trailer.
Oops.
Well, one way or the other, like, well, you know.
That's why I was overweight.
Yep. It was something.
At least you found the problem.
Yes. You know, and it wasn't like you were really, really overweight. It's just that you just had to readjust things again, you know. It's all right.
Well, that's it. We were permitted, I think, for 55,000 pounds on that grouping, and we were 58.
Wow.
According to the scale.
Right, so. Right. That is...
Look at it this way. You picked up a couple hitchhikers on the way down.
There you go. 3,000 pounds worth. Were you coming up from the border? Oh, man. It's just too easy.
This is a sanctuary way station, right?
Just ask Tammy. All right. So what's next?
Oh, well. Whatever you want. We only got a few left, so.
Yeah, I know. We're down to almost nothing. Now let's go with the rookie on the door.
Rookie on the door.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one we talked about at the first episode.
Oh, we did? Did we do that? What?
Yeah, we did.
Then we'll skip that one. If you want to hear that go back to the first episode of this one.
You at control of this here. Well, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about we do the Albuquerque Air Force Base?
Oh, the Albuquerque Air Force Base. Okay, so had to pick up some equipment from there. They're coming up to the Wainwright Army base here in Canada, in Alberta. They're doing some training, I guess. So I think it was a deuce and a half, but it was a Mercedes version. So it wasn't like... the normal deuce and a half, like GMC used to make in World War II, but it was a 6x6 made by Mercedes, like a Unimog. So I had to pick one of those up at the base. And I remember dispatch telling me, saying, you will not be allowed on the base because you're a foreign national. So you'll just, you know, lay all your chains out, give them the keys to the truck, and they'll go load it and bring it back out to you.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, no problem. So I get to the base, I go in to the gate, and they search my truck, like the mirrors and everything. They're pulling everything out of the cab. They're in and out and checking everything. I go give them my passport, my driver's license, my bill of lading, And they said, okay, well, the issue is you're a foreign national. We can't let you on the base. Yeah, no problem. Well, I was told you guys are going to drive it. And they said, well, the problem is nobody here can drive an 18-speed. I was like, well, that is a pickle.
Yes, it is.
And I said, well, if you know, I can show you and just leave, put it in bow low and leave it in bow low. Let the clutch out and let her idle. That's fine. No, we can't do that. So they're hemming and hawing. I think it took them 4 hours to finally make a decision. I had to leave that area, go to the main gate, get like a visitor's pass, quote unquote. Had to give them all the registration for the truck. They searched the truck again. And then a sergeant, was it a sergeant? Yeah, it was a sergeant, hopped in the truck with me with his like full gear, gun in hand. And they directed me where to go onto the base. And they would not leave my side until I was back out the gate.
So you had to go to the main gate. We couldn't do this at the other gate.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. It's a typical American government operation.
Yeah. And you know, me being an unarmed Canadian, it was kind of weird to have somebody with a gun sitting next to me.
And you're a visitor.
Unless you're at the southern border, then it's okay.
Yeah, then it's okay.
Yeah. Just come on over. Come on in. Plenty of room.
Yeah, we just got over COVID. We have a space.
Well, I think we touched them all, Kyle. I think we hit everything. I don't think we missed anything. Yeah. I'm scrolling through just to make sure. But yeah. We hit everything. Dude, right, this has been awesome. I know. This is, it's like, wow. That was awesome. Kyle, this really has been a blast. Thank you so much for coming on, taking the time. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, no problem.
It's just a beautiful thing, man. It is just a beautiful thing. I'm loving it. I'm loving this. It was great talking with you. It was great hearing the stories. And, you know, hey, you know, I don't know if your dad speaks or not, but he's always welcome to come on.
What is he?
He's kind of very quiet right now.
What's that?
Looking at me like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, my dad, because I parked my truck in his yard. And he's just staring at me, kind of like, what are you doing? So maybe I'll go talk to him. Well, these guys want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Hold.
Yeah. I mean, all his stories are back from the 70s and 80s.
That would be
back when it was fun.
Yeah. If he would ever want to come on.
Back when it was fun, yes. Yep.
You have our number. You have got my phone number. Just if he would ever want to come on. Yeah, just ask him. We'd love to have a conversation with him.
It's just a conversation. Yeah. Come listen to all just three couple, of your episodes.
Just to cut me up. And you talked with us. We're a couple of schlubs. Just kind of
right. You know, yeah. Throw in the town of Regina and, you know, you got Merkel Regina. And Stitches. Yeah.
It's Canada. Regina.
You speak your Canadian way. I speak my Canadian way. Okay?
You got to come about, dude.
Yeah.
He just doesn't want to get in trouble.
Right. I know. He's afraid. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden he spewed a little bit before. And now he's...
I got HR on me.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm gonna have. He did his daily rant.
Yeah, exactly. If I keep it, I'm gonna have HR on me. HQ is gonna be coming up here soon.
Yeah, HQ is coming to make a visit.
That's right. Anyway,
so if we're off the air for a couple weeks, you know why?
You know what happened. Well, anyway, Kyle, thanks again. Thank you so much for coming on. You take care of yourself. Thanks for taking
the time, and we do appreciate it.
Have a happy Easter.
Yeah, no problem.
It's just ham.
Oh, yes, it is Easter.
I was going to say, you guys do Easter up there, right?
It's just ham.
That's the show name. It's just ham.
It's just ham.
Part one, there's an initial
show right there. It's just ham.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, that's pretty great. Well, thank you so much. Thank your wife. Thank your dad. Thank your family, dude. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate the time that you gave us.
And hey, I do like the Canadian people up there.
They're awesome. They really are awesome. I agree. You take notice, they're not coming across the border trying to get in here.
They're trying to go further north. They're trying to get to Alaska.
Yes, they're trying to get away.
Some of us want to get across the border right now.
Well, you know, that's a blast. So, anyway, we hope you enjoyed the show. Kyle, we hope you enjoyed the show. I know that we both enjoyed the show. And if everybody else out there enjoyed the show, Shipper, what can they do?
They can share the show, share it with their friends, neighbors, countrymen, illegals. They got an iPhone. Just show them how to hit a podcast.
Or a smartphone. It doesn't even have to be an iPhone. It could be anything. An Android. It's okay. We're good.
Anyway, podcast. Share the show. That's how we make it grow. So
that is how we make it
enjoy,
grow.
Enjoy. Have a good holiday. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. See ya.
Amen. See ya.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You never guess the places that I've been. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let
let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go. And I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. I love. Never gonna lose the ones I love.